talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you
down. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. One other piece of good news. Joe Biden has announced that he is not going to lift the Iran sanctions until they stop enriching uranium. The truth is that Trump should not have withdrawn from the nuclear accord with Iran. It undermined what our European allies were doing. But Iran is a dangerous actor. It really is a dangerous actor. I saw an interview with the Iranian foreign minister over the weekend. You know, a very arrogant, belligerent guy. And basically saying that there's no basis anymore to negotiate, even to negotiate the reduction of their ballistic missile program. The nuclear agreement did not include their ballistic missiles, and they are developing them. And the truth is, if you take a look at the geography of the Middle East, the distance from Iran to Israel is trivial. It's minuscule. The distance from Iran to Saudi Arabia, the same. The distance from Iran to Europe is easily overcome by Iran. It's circumventable. They cannot be permitted to have ballistic missiles. All they have to do is launch them. They can destroy a city, and they have people over there who are absolutely fanatical. The subtext of it is Iran is a Shiite nation. Of the world's Muslims, 10% are Shiites, 90% are Sunnis. And their differences are over something very technical. Sunnis believe that when the Prophet Muhammad died, it was his son-in-law who should take over. And the Shiites believe it was his grandson who should have taken over. And based on that, for over 1,000 years, they have shed blood. In any event, you cannot have a nuclear power in Iran's hands. You cannot have ballistic missiles in Iran's hands. So Biden is handling this very well. Biden would not have withdrawn us from the nuclear accord with them. But once that happened, you simply can't go back to business as usual while they continue to enrich uranium. Another very disturbing development is there's an international group of inspectors that are supposed to go in and inspect their nuclear program on a regular basis. They kept them out for 7 months. And when they just went back in, they detected nuclear activity that had nothing to do with the peaceful use of nuclear power and had everything to do with creating a nuclear weapon. Iran is simply cheating. And here's the thing. You can say, well, you know, yeah, that's bad, but I mean, they're not really going to attack. Well, they can start a world war. They can easily start a world war. And what's going to happen is if they come close to developing a nuclear weapon and are about to launch it, they are going to be bombed. And they're going to be bombed by Israel. They may be bombed by us. And we don't want it to get to that. They've got to be talked down out of the tree. And so there you have it. Joe Biden taking the first steps, very reasonable guy, not threatening, but he's saying, well, we're going to keep the Iran sanctions in place until they stop enriching uranium. I think that's pretty reasonable. I think that's exactly the right thing to do. On the home front here in Wisconsin, something that I never thought would happen, Tony Evers has proposed legalizing pot. You know, in the 2018 gubernatorial primary, I'd proposed that. Evers was opposed to it. Several of the other candidates supported it. It never went anywhere. The Republicans won't do it. But if marijuana were legalized, recreational marijuana were legalized in this state, it would yield about $166 million in tax revenue, in sales tax revenue, $166 million. Now, over and above that, there is a personal freedom aspect of this thing. It's not dissimilar from alcohol. That was briefly, when I say briefly, for something like 12, 15 years, constitutionally prohibited. And you can't prohibit something like that successfully. And then that prohibition was repealed when Franklin Roosevelt became president. But you have a circumstance where, for instance, marijuana is legal in Illinois, in Colorado, in Oregon, California. So what do you do with kids in Kenosha and Janesville? And I mean, they are going to go to Illinois and they're going to buy this stuff. Then they're going to come back. Some of them will be arrested. I do not think that Evers' proposal is going to be accepted by the gerrymandered Republican majority initially. But I think that ultimately they're going to have to. They're going to have to accept it, because if you took a referendum now, you'd see a majority of the people supporting legalized marijuana. I remember I'd give a speech in Greene County, very rural county. A lot of older people showed up, and most of them supported it because older people, aches and pains, it's pain reduction, it's relaxation, and so forth. Now, what I don't want to see, obviously, is a generation of something weedheads who just sit around, don't doing anything. There are guys like that. We don't want that. But I think as a matter of personal liberty, it's hard to argue that it's not a gateway drug. This is the kind of thing that once you have so many other states legalizing it, it's pretty much inevitable that it'll be legalized nationally. Now, the problem is it's not legalized federally. It's not legalized federally. So what good does it do to tell people, well, it's okay under state law, but not federal law? Well, the federal government has signaled under Democrats, and now they will again under Biden, that they are not going to prosecute if it's legal under state law. So as a practical matter, there's a backdoor de facto legalization federally for areas where it's not illegal under state law. But one of the problems is banks aren't going to lend money to businesses like that. Banks are not going to accept deposits of marijuana receipts as long as it's illegal under federal law. It's a defined substance that's illegal. And why is that? Because their lawyers are going to say to them, are you crazy? I mean, you do not take money from organized crime. You don't take money laundering. And this, if it's technically illegal, why do you want to get into disputes with a prosecutor who makes a mistake of some sort or exercises discretion wrongfully? So as a practical matter, these businesses, these marijuana businesses are not going to be normal. They're not going to be normal. And there's got to be a national solution. And I think what it is number of states should simply hold referenda. They pass, the state legalizes it. Many already have. And when it gets to a critical mass, there's got to be a concerted effort in the U.S. Congress. But go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks, Glenn. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, Matt, I got a kick out of watching the Republicans' hypocrisy again on being fiscally conservative. The big lie now they're calculating that Trump gave us for many months after the election, or weeks, I should say, is calculated to be over $500 million in counting. That's not counting the deaths of 6-7 people. That's not counting all the money to fix physical things there. And then the party gave us, in the whole time he was president, a big tax break to corporate America that's costing, you know, middle income and so on more. And now all of a sudden you're supposed to believe they're the party of what Jack Benny. We're going to pinch every penny now, and we're going to fight Biden on the stimulus. It amazes me how they turned on a dime just since Election Day.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, and I'll go one step further. You know, you're absolutely right. I don't think you can trust taxpayer money to the Republican Party, and it goes beyond the money that was, as well as the human toll and the killing of the cop in the takeover of the Capitol. and the tax bill and all that, and now they're nickel and diming on the COVID relief package. But really, take a good look here in our state. What is Scott Walker doing? He was egged on by Donald Trump and Ron Johnson. Foxconn, Mount Pleasant and Racine put up $911 million in bonding for site preparation, throwing people out of their homes, acquiring homes, gifting all this to Foxconn, Chinese company, roads and all this. How about some roads somewhere else other than Racine County? You know, there are 72 counties in the state, and a lot of them need roads. They need road repair. This is all Scott Walker. Then turned down $1 billion in train money and $1 billion in Medicaid money. So he turns down $2 billion in return of our federal dollars, which didn't go then to reduce the deficit. It went to California. And then what happens? He turns around and then, we're the party of fiscal responsibility. I don't think so. They're not the party of fiscal responsibility. They never have been, and they cannot be trusted with taxpayer dollars because they will blow it. They will turn down the return of our own taxes. The whole package for Foxconn is theoretically $4.5 billion, over $1 billion for site prep, sales tax exemption, and then $3 billion in cash. Look, this has got to stop. You cannot keep touting them as the party of fiscal responsibility. You can't be trusted with taxpayer money. Going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.